Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Oh my God, we went live just now, and the chat room had nothing but green names, which represents channel members. And I'm like, oh, please don't tell me I have the settings wrong for tonight. Now we see some other colors popping up. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Don Tony Show for April 30th, 2022. It is awesome that you could join me for this episode. Hope everybody is having a great weekend. And, you know, we got a few interesting, important topics to talk about tonight. WWE releasing another 10 stars, all NXT related. We will get into each and every one of them. I will also reiterate a quote from Triple H's interview that he did recently with The Athletic that I think some people are purposely avoiding or don't want to be reminded of when you look at these releases, because it kind of puts everything all together. We'll talk about Ember Moon and some of the comments that she said about, well, we find out now it's pretty much John Laurinaitis. Remember the days way back when Johnny Ace would look in swimsuit magazines? I want him. I want her. I want her. I want her. Bring back sexy. Eye candy. We'll talk about that. But you know what? When you get into what Ember Moon said about her release from Chris Van Vliet, what happened to some of these NXT stars yesterday is the same exact thing that happened to Ember Moon, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Becky Lynch has a few comments about the AEW women's division. And I honestly, for the life of me, do not understand why people online got upset at it, but we will comment about that as well. And first and foremost, for everybody this week who was a part of the watch parties, shout out to Dreamers Lane, who won this autographed John Cena Peacemaker photo and the Austin Theory photo. This is a rumored match for WrestleMania 39. I know nobody's talking about it yet, but, you know, it's still a long ways away. Anything can happen between now and then. Yesterday, we did a giveaway for not only this Sasha Banks very cool autographed Sailor Moon photo, but why not two? I think two is better than one. So we will announce the winner of that on Monday. And also, if you are part of next Friday's Rampage Watch Party, remember, Rampage as of now starts at 7 o'clock next Friday. Not your normal 10 o'clock. Some people are thinking that the time that I'm giving is not correct. I got this directly from someone within AEW. I don't want to out the person. But as of right now, keep 7 o'clock on your calendar next week. But six different viewers who join us next week, each one is going to win one of these CM Punk AEW Tops cards. And I'll be honest with you, I am shocked that they are still being sold on eBay anyways between $35 and $60 a piece. I mean, I still have about 50 of those cards. So I honestly thought that they were going to nosedive in value, but no, they kept their value. I'm pretty surprised. And we have a few other tidbits to get into, but obviously we got to talk about the big story that WWE last minute is teasing that the unified tag team title match has been changed. Now, I love it because of the people online that have this agenda about unifying the titles just so they could be proven right. You know, there's more to it. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to say something tonight that no one else out there is claiming. Kind of reminds you all of what I said about Liv Morgan and the scammer that claimed to have sold his house, and that appears to have been nothing but a scam as well. I'm going to say something tonight. I wonder if the TMZ story that came out about Jimmy Uso and the DUI arrest from last year, I don't know if that played a factor into it. You know, Jimmy Uso on film calling the police officer an asshole and being a little bit worse than I think people expected with this arrest. Did that piss off WWE and say, you know what, we're not doing the unified titles? Or could they just be trolling until Monday? Monday they may make it unified tag titles after all. Maybe something happens. Roman Reigns puts his titles on the line for Drew McIntyre as well. The person who gets the pin, the team gets it all. Maybe they do something like that on Monday. We shall see. I'm not so sure, though, for the simple reason that Drew McIntyre is a SmackDown wrestler. He's not a Raw wrestler. So unless Drew McIntyre makes an appearance on Raw this Monday, it kind of doesn't make sense. Why would Roman just offer up his titles? Drew McIntyre has no championship right now. What does Roman Reigns benefit? Unless they do a stipulation that if Drew McIntyre loses, he cannot get another shot at Roman Reigns, which I know WWE does not want to do. They definitely want to keep. We'll talk about that a little later. We'll talk about it when we get into the SmackDown results. But listen, before we go any further, congratulations go out to Bray Wyatt, Wyndham, whatever you want to call him, and JoJo. They are engaged. Congrats to the couple. I love seeing stuff like that. I know some of you deep down inside like that as well. Kudos. So Wyndham and JoJo will soon be officially husband and wife. So I heard today that Riddle's divorce has been finalized. So he is no longer a married man. So one breaks it off, one is about to tie the knot. Yeah, if you look at some of JoJo's photos because of mostly the hair change, you know, the style, I don't think some people would recognize her if she was walking down the street. Sure, if she has a pair of sunglasses on or something, it's almost impossible if she's wearing a hat. But I think even just looking at her, you know, some of the photos, you would not recognize her. So, Riddle's divorce was finalized, I believe, Friday. I haven't had a chance to look at court documents yet, but I do know that the divorce has been finalized. So hope everybody's having a great weekend. I am taking it easy a little bit. Now, don't forget, tomorrow we are definitely doing the sit-down with yours truly. Not to be confused with the sit-down with this Don Tony. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's the Don Tony of NXT. Now the Don Tony of NXT wants to do a sit-down. Tomorrow we're going to take calls for the majority of the show. Last week's calls were phenomenal. And we actually went like an extra hour. That's how great the calls were. So tomorrow, if you've been wanting to call in, tomorrow's your shot. We're opening up right with phone calls. Tomorrow, going to test it out entire show. You're live chat as well, but we're going to have the phone lines open the entire show. Yes, tomorrow is truly the sit down. No storylines. The families, we all sit down tomorrow and we talk. So, all right, let's get into it. WWE released 10 NXT wrestlers, one referee, a manager, the rest wrestlers. I have each person, I have a picture for each one of you. I know a lot of you asked ADT, some of these names I don't recognize. Well, I'm going to show you some pictures. I will tell you firsthand why these wrestlers were released. Take note of what we said for the last 2 years about WWE going back to developmental. I know it's a broken record, but it's very important because for almost 2 years, this show did not steer you into any bullshit news just because we wanted a different narrative to take place. Triple H did an interview with The Athletic about a month ago. And in that interview, and I'm going to read you two very small paragraphs, because as I get into these releases, I want you to think about what Triple H said. Triple H said, and I quote, "People like Bron Breakker have been training for a year. Half the women, they've been here maybe a year. There's a lot that's just so fresh and new. This is very important, everyone. People used to say the constant charm or churn of NXT was a negative. The constant churn of NXT was a negative. How many shows this weekend so far are telling you that this constant churn, the turnover of NXT is a negative? Triple H has told you that before. Everybody ignores it. He said it again a month ago. Everybody again ignores it. I bring it up to you, and I repeat what Triple H said a month ago. People used to say the constant churn of NXT was a negative. The churn is what's great about it. The people here now, hopefully, a year and a half from now, none of them are in NXT anymore. Triple H hopes a year to a year and a half from now, no one that you see on NXT is in NXT anymore. He hopes that they make it to Raw and SmackDown. That's the magic. It is truly the developmental league, like college football, AAA baseball. Yeah, they're not all quite ready to make it in the major leagues, but you're discovering them before they become household names. We used to be like, think about Harland, what I'm about to read to you. Think about Harland. We used to be like, well, he's only been here a year. Let's give him more time. See if he picks it up. Now we know there's a 6 month coming in the door of adapt, get rolling, and then we are looking at your aptitude for this. We know that in 6 months, and some will not make it that long, are there going to be some that we miss where they say they'll stay in the business? Go find someone else to train them. Remember what I said, that WWE, in the case of some wrestlers, they're not going to train people for a couple of years. If they don't see the value or over-the-top major stardom, they're going to release them. Let someone else train them. Triple H's exact quote with The Athletic. Are there going to be some we miss where they say they'll stay in the business, go find somewhere else to train? Yeah, good for them. Probably sooner than later. We're going to see them and realize we were wrong and should rehire them. And at some point, they'll want to be part of the biggest promotion in the world and come back here. Every single person who got released yesterday knew exactly who they were signing the dotted line with. I read people online that are so emotionally, look, as wrestling fans, we're going to miss seeing some of them. My favorite NXT wrestler was released yesterday. Anybody that tunes in, especially the Wednesday Night Dynamite shows, even though we took hiatus for a month, I've said it forever. First, it was Keith Lee. I wanted it to be Karrion Kross, but WWE kind of fucked him up in NXT. And after that, it was Dexter Lumis. So some of my favorites are gone. But again, you have to understand what WWE is doing. Every single one of them knows the risk they take. The people online are more distraught than the wrestlers themselves. People compare and, oh, well, AEW at least lets contracts run out. The fuck you talking about? They don't even understand what is in the AEW contracts and what's not. So you need to remember the Triple H interview. Since when, and this is not a knock on Triple H, and honestly, I don't mean to sound cold, but whether Triple H had a beautiful working heart, a fucked up heart, a pacemaker, no pacemaker, a peacemaker, a fucking angio, I don't care if it's a bionic heart. Since when did Triple H suddenly not become a McMahon? Since when did Triple H, in 2+ decades, suddenly has the mindset of the outsider? Why? Because he always poses with people like this, and he's always got a smile? At the end of the day, it is a business. It is a billion-dollar company. It is an entertainment company. Triple H knows exactly what the formula is in WWE. He tells it to you, and people accuse him of lying. Imagine that. A $1 billion publicly traded company, and one of the biggest executives there is going to lie. No investors ever accused Triple H of lying. No investors ever accused Vince McMahon of lying. No networks, no advertisers, nobody that they work business with. No one accuses them when they make these statements of lying. But SchmuckWrestling.com, you know, is convinced and brainwashed all of you out there that they're all lying to us. They're just telling us so they could go along with the program. You got to stop and realize, no, this is what they do. And these wrestlers know it. It still sucks to see some released, but it's not as simple as cut and dry. And let me also, if you did not see the synopsis for tonight's show, let me also remind you that in the case of at least two people who were released yesterday, they already told WWE, I'm not re-signing a new deal. How many people are actually telling you that? And it's probably the two that everybody beloves the most. They told WWE, I don't think I want to sign a new deal, or I'm not sure, or I refuse to. So what WWE does, they did the same thing to Ember Moon. Ember Moon, in November of the year before she was gone, she told WWE that I'm not signing a new deal. Yeah, I don't care how much money, I'm not happy. I'm not signing a new deal. Her deal was up in April at that time. And what did WWE say? Oh, you're not happy? We don't need to wait till April. We'll let you go now. Where have you seen that before? You know, happened yesterday again. Oh, Dakota Kai, Malcolm Bivens, you don't want to sign a new deal? No problem. We don't have to wait until his deal is over. We'll let you go now. You get the next 30 days pay. You stay at home. You start figuring out what your next move is. And you continue on. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. All right, let's talk about these releases. Now, a couple of them we could zoom right through because it's pretty easy to talk about. First off, the non-wrestler, who was a wrestler. We're talking about the young lady on the right, even though the young lady on the left, I believe, also was let go. I think she's the same person. But some of you may remember her as an indie wrestler by the name of Chloe Christmas. She actually had a gimmick that she loves Christmas, and she would dress up almost like with Christmas themes. There's some very revealing photos, no nakedness, but very revealing photos of her wearing like Christmas themes online. WWE brought her in as a referee. You might remember not too long ago, there was a little bit of controversy that WWE changed her name to Paige Prinzavalli. And everybody's like, wait a minute, there's already a Paige on the roster. Paige is not let go. That Paige. So WWE then changed her name again to Blair Baldwin. She was a referee for WWE. WWE just feels that, you know, she's hasn't gotten up to the standards as far as a referee with them. You remember, she was wrestling. So transition to refereeing, you know, is not necessarily overnight. So she hones her skills a little bit further. There is a possibility that WWE could bring her back. All right, next on the list, Sonyana George, all right? Her name, Sonyana George, Raylan Devine, and Myla Malani. The reason why I'm showing you those three right away is because they just didn't pick it up quick enough. It's not an insult on any of them, but again, think about what Triple H said. By 6 months, and yes, some of them were actually signed last year. Remember Vegas? Remember when they went down there? This was right at the time where WWE had released so many people and then he signed a few more. So, yeah, it's about that time, everybody. They didn't pick up enough, and WWE said, no, we're not going to just stick around and say, well, maybe they'll pick it up down the line. No, if they want it bad enough, they will continue training. Hopefully they bit the bug. Some of these names you will never see in wrestling ever again. Some of them did not have a wrestling background. Some of them, if they really caught the bug and they really want to pursue it and hopefully come back to WWE one day, then they will continue on. There are wrestling schools out there, everybody. So those are the ones that probably you are not familiar with as far as the list. So now we get to some other names. Draco Anthony. Draco Anthony came out through Booker T's wrestling school. As you notice, I don't have notes written down. There's really no need to. I know who most of these people are. He actually was shown on TV quite a bit. I think the problem with Draco Anthony is that he has not clicked with the crowd. He is decent in the ring. But remember, again, I know I'm going to brainwash you with this, but I got to keep saying it. Remember what Triple H said. A year and a half from now, he hopes that every single one of these NXT stars are in Raw and SmackDown. They do not feel that Draco Anthony is far enough where there's been progress. And unfortunately, Draco Anthony, with all due respect, does not have that outstanding, special, unique quality where WWE feels, you know what, let's keep him a little bit longer. No, we tried. It didn't work out. He goes back maybe to Booker T school, hones it a little bit more, maybe gets a little bit more of a persona outside of a headband. You know, maybe he gets a little bit more of a character because that's what WWE is. It's very heavily character driven. And maybe they bring him back. He's still extremely long. What is he, around 25 years old? So he's got a very bright future. He's very talented. He's very talented. But right now, you know, especially with the NIL program and everything else that they're doing, Draco Anthony, unfortunately, there's a lot of people on the food chain ahead of him. So they're giving his spot to someone else. Now, the next five, you know, these are obviously recognizable names. Persia Parata. Parata. Some people say Parata, some people say Parata. I say tomato, you say tomato. I'm very surprised. She's not bad in the ring. She actually is pretty good. But if you really pay attention closely, forget the makeout stuff, forget the do cuts in storyline, in Indy Hartwell stuff. If you look closely, you know, there's still a lot to be desired. You know, she comes from Australia. She is now, you know, staying in Florida as far as we are aware. And she has the bug. She wants to turn this. And she says she's one that takes lemons and turn it into lemonade. Well, she's got to do a little bit more with those lemons this time around than just make lemonade. She seems like one that is going to really try her hardest to show WWE you made a mistake. And I got news for you. She'd be a perfect fit in Impact Wrestling, especially with the inspiration gone from Impact Wrestling. And I have something kind of amusing to tell you about the inspiration and the hiatus. They're indefinitely leaving pro wrestling for Hollywood. But I got something really funny for you in a few minutes about Billy Kay, you know, Jessica McKay. But I think she'd be a perfect fit in Impact Wrestling. I think if you could, yeah, I know, Ramsen, those aren't lemons. I know. Ha, ha, ha. But especially with the inspiration, I think if she could get a tag team partner, I could see, you know, her fitting in like a glove. Please don't tell me AEW. Please don't tell me AEW. Because, you know, I put something on Twitter yesterday, and it gets no traction. As I've always said to you, people don't want to be fed truths. Truths. They just want, you know, flaming, you know, that heat-seeking tweet. You know, that's catchy. Or if I post my breakfast. You know, I wrote yesterday, Ruby Riot, Ruby Soho. Okay? Again, no notes. I just noticed from memory. Ruby Soho. So far, we are 4 months into 2022. Third of the year is over. Do you know how many wins Ruby Soho has on AEW, Dynamite, and Rampage combined for this year? You know how many wins she has? One. You know how many wins she has in 2022 on YouTube? Because that's what I call Dark and Elevation. I don't even call it Dark and Elevation anymore. I call it AEW YouTube. It's not network television. You know how many wins Ruby Soho has on AEW YouTube for 2022? 15. In fact, she is undefeated on YouTube. So you look at the rankings. Ruby Soho is a perfect example why AEW's rankings are no more. Because when you actually look at it, like they showed yesterday, Colton Gunn, the motherfucker is 48-5. 48-5. That should be Bryan Danielson numbers. They're actually taking the Dark, the YouTube stuff, and making it a statistic on network TV. But in actuality, how many wins do you think Mr. Gunn has on Dynamite and Rampage? Zero? One? You know, the smoke and mirrors, you know, it's not going to cut it anymore. So you look at Ruby Soho on Rampage and Dynamite, one win in 2022. But YouTube, she's got 15. She's undefeated. What does that tell you? Is that Tony Khan, at the end of the day, is trying to put the elite, nothing but the elite, and smoke and mirrors for others because the network doesn't want that? Why does Ruby Soho not have 5-10 wins on TV? She's not good enough for TBS or TNT? Explain to me over and over. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago with the tag teams, Private Party, the Acclaimed, the Varsity Blondes, and Private Party, and I can't remember the other one right now. Between all four of those teams, two wins on network television. So what the fuck is going on, you know? And it's just over and over and over again. So please don't tell me Persia would be a perfect fit in AEW, because what's going to happen? She's going to be what, 13-2 on YouTube, and on regular TV, she's going to have no wins whatsoever in 4, 5, 6 months. Doesn't Andrade, his first year in AEW, doesn't he only have 3 wins on network television? So please spare me the AEW stuff for a lot of these women. Because how the fuck are they going to leapfrog all these other women that they do have that they're not using? All right, next on the list, Dakota Kai. 17-year veteran. 17 years. Again, it goes into what I said before. Everybody is reporting that she and Malcolm Bivens told WWE that they did not sign new deals. They declined new deals. So WWE is like, okay, no problem. You know, and let me also clear this up too. Everybody that's reporting tonight that WWE felt that she was not worthy for the main roster, you know where they're getting that from? They're just looking at the fact that she was in dark matches for Raw and SmackDown tapings, and then they brought her back to NXT. That's what they're doing. They have no sudden scooper behind the scenes. Because if that was the case, they would have told these people the first day that she was back in NXT before she even teamed up with Raquel Gonzalez. All right. The fact of the matter is they tried to appease her. They gave her the title. This and that. I'm not signing. I'm not interested in doing a new deal right now. Okay, we take the titles right back off of you. We give it the Toxic Attraction. Bye-bye. I'm not trying to be cold, but those are the facts. She is fabulous in the ring. She is one of the most beloved wrestlers in WWE amongst her peers. She has a lot of very close friends in WWE that are going to miss her. And it is a shame that something could not be worked out where she could still do it. But look, if WWE feels that she's not main roster, that is up for debate. That is up for debate. You look at her size, she's the size of Riho. She is obviously uber talented. I'm not knocking her whatsoever. But you look at the WWE machine, you know, I don't know. I don't know how she leapfrogs everybody else. But again, you got to remember, she did not re-sign a new deal. So what do you expect to happen? I think Dakota Kai absolutely should go to Impact Wrestling. Absolutely. I think she'd be a great fit in Impact Wrestling. She still has a lot in the tank. Maybe she goes back to WWE down the line and becomes a trainer. But right now, she still has more to give inside the ring. Somebody, you know, was trying to, you know, hit me the other day when I was talking about Ember Moon and Chris Candido, both being asked by WWE at different decades, obviously, you know, to become trainers before they were even in their 30s, you know, mid-30s. And, you know, somebody said to me, like, oh, being a trainer has nothing to do with age. That's ageism. No, that's not it. Ember Moon, Dakota Kai, Chris Candido, God rest his soul, and others. And the reason why we brought up Chris, because, you know, Thursday was the anniversary of his passing, so we paid a little tribute to him. But, you know, these wrestlers didn't get into business to become a trainer. Maybe once their in-ring career is over, they decide they want to be a trainer to give back to pro wrestling. But their goal was to make it big time in the ring. None of them said, oh, I am training because my ultimate goal is to become a trainer. No. So a lot of these wrestlers feel they still have more to give. Dakota Kai definitely has more to give. Malcolm Bivens. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago. He probably would have been the perfect manager for Omos. Nothing against MVP. But if you were going to bring Malcolm Bivens to the main roster, I think he would have been awesome for Omos. Malcolm Bivens, and we even said it 2 weeks ago, how's this guy not further in WWE? I don't get it. He's good. He's very good. He's charismatic. He's funny. He's witty. He's not controversial. He doesn't get in trouble. He absolutely loves what he's doing. I don't understand why they didn't bring him further. Now, again, this is someone that did not sign a new deal with WWE. Maybe it was the frustration of not being graduated, promoted to the main roster. Here's a case, no disrespect to this person. Get Mark Sterling off of AEW television. I don't give a fuck how much work he does behind the scenes. The guy looks like an indie manager. He looks like someone who sells tickets, and it looks like that the reason why he is a manager is because he does something else for the company. All right. When you look at legendary managers, even mid-range managers, even low-budget managers, Mark Sterling doesn't come up. Mark Sterling is a manager in AEW, not because he's great as a manager, but because he works behind the scenes for AEW. Get that motherfucker off of AEW television as a manager and put this guy on there. That guy would be awesome for Jade Cargill. That guy would be awesome for Powerhouse Hobbs. And I'm not just using those two because they're black. There are a lot of people that Malcolm Bivens could be a great manager for in AEW. And Malcolm Bivens, you know, is not asking for millions of dollars. I know he would love to make millions of dollars. Malcolm Bivens is awesome. I absolutely would love to see that guy as a manager in AEW. There's a case where somebody can fit in wonderfully for AEW. So now we go to Holland. All right, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Parker Boudreau, I absolutely love the look. I absolutely love, and you have heard me say this, that man lives his gimmick 24/7, 365, whenever there's a camera around. You look at him at a sports game, you look at him at a store, you look at him at some type of function. Every time a camera is rolling, he is in character. That man tried very hard to really get that character over. The two problems is, number one, he is nowhere near what WWE expected him to be at this point. And number two, he did not get an entry level, very, very small amount of money to sign. He was very hyped. He got a nice chunk of change. WWE feels at this point, Parker Boudreaux should have been a lot further on the food chain. Understand something. You got to think about this too. People within NXT, they are giving progress reports to Vince McMahon. They are giving progress reports to Johnny Ace. They're giving progress reports to others. So don't think that Vince just woke up one day, looked at him, it's like, what's this? You're fired. No. People within WWE are telling higher ups, it's not coming along as good as we expected. We should have seen this because 2 weeks ago he was absent with Joe Gacy. He was absent this past week with Joe Gacy. That should have been a telltale sign like, wait a minute, where is he? Why is he not around? I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned about his future in wrestling. Now, please do not twist my words. I am a huge fan of Parker Boudreaux. One of my favorites. Look, he's not great in the ring. And his character's not over yet. So please don't mix up what I'm saying. I don't want to say he sucks. He doesn't suck. But talk about someone that I was excited to see where this was going to go. They shaved his head. He's intimidating. I know everybody thought he was going to be the next Brock Lesnar. I was very excited to see the progress of Parker Boudreaux. In my opinion, I think this was someone that WWE should have kept for a little bit longer. So they must have really negatively felt that, man, this guy is nowhere near where we expected him to be. So I am very surprised they let him go this early. Now, you look at that NIL program, you know, you ask yourself, like, wouldn't this be a perfect representation of that? Still, they let him go. I'm a little concerned. What I hope to hear is that he catches on with a wrestling school, the Dudleys, Booker T, something. I hope that within, and I can't see why he can't train with a school right now. I hope to hear within the next month or two at the most that we hear that he is at so-and-so school trying to build and hone his craft and trying to improve on it. Because remember, this is the one thing you got to realize with some of the people that sign with WWE. Some of them do not have pro wrestling backgrounds. They're not from the indie circuit. And WWE is pulling people and bringing them into the company without any wrestling history that if they're let go early enough, they may feel like, man, I'm not doing this. I'm not going up through the indies. I'm not driving 100 miles for $30. I'm not going to no wrestling school. I think there's going to be some names that will get out of wrestling 100%. I hope Parker Boudreaux is not one of them. Obviously, the man is you know, an extreme athlete. I hope he has the bug. It seems like he does. Because, again, you see anything that he is filmed outside of NXT, and that man tries to stay in character. I'm very disappointed in WWE for letting him go. I would think, you know, especially since they got crazy profits, you know, I think a little extra investment with this guy doesn't break the bank. So, you know, unless you start hearing rumors that he had a bad attitude, which I have not heard. I have not heard anything about Parker Boudreaux having a bad attitude. You know, I think some people may come up with that narrative without any facts because it almost doesn't make sense why WWE let him go so quickly. But he is gone. Then we go to the last release, and I saved him for last because he is, and he has been for a while, my favorite NXT star. Yes, the wrestling storyline was awful. You know, just the one time when he picked up Indy Hartwell and she had the thumbs up, and then when they did the actual wedding, and, you know, those are the only two moments I liked. Everything else was kind of ridiculously bad. How does Sam Shaw not make it to the main roster? How does Sam Shaw not... This is not a case where he sucks. WWE is the one that turned him into a comedy routine. And the guy is so much more than that. I mean, I don't get it. I'm really baffled. And I tell you, I always liked Dexter Lumis. You know, I have bought a lot of his merch while he's been in NXT. But Dexter Lumis, you know, another reason why, you know, I like the guy a lot. He posted a reaction video of his release, and I'm going to share it with you now. He was in the process of painting a portrait of Mr. McMahon. And this is what he put on social media in response to his release. He's looking, for those on audio only, he's looking at the picture that he painted of Vince McMahon, and he turns around and he gives a thumbs up. Thank you, Vince McMahon. Thank you, WWE, for the opportunity. You know, out of everybody, this guy has the ability in the ring. I mean, you look, if you never saw his work in Impact Wrestling, there's more that he has done in the ring that we don't really ever see in NXT. The guy has a great character. I don't know why WWE felt the need to have him like a simpleton. You know, like this mute. I mean, sure, you know, the mute character works, but as a goof, I don't get it. I don't get it. Steph, this is a big story, and it's a story that I'm covering tonight, so I'm not going to rush and move on because of it. We're on the last release anyway. But I'm really going to miss his stuff. And again, I feel like Impact Wrestling. Because you bring him to AEW, what is he going to do? He's going to get the Eric Redbeard treatment. You know, they're going to bring W. Morrissey on next week to be fed to Wardlow. I mean, it's going to be cool to see him take on Wardlow, but I've watched him perform in Impact Wrestling. I have nothing against W. Morrissey or Big Kaz, whatever you want to call him, but people are making it like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. He's going to get the fucking Eric Redbeard treatment. He's going to be there once, and he's going to be gone. So he goes to AEW, what do you think he's going to do? What do you think he's going to do? You think suddenly he's going to catch fire and get momentum? You know, I mean, you look the pattern as far as what is on network television. I'm not interested in seeing Sam Shaw wrestle YouTube matches against Jose Cuervo's number 3 on Dark. I think Impact Wrestling could possibly do something with him. It's a shame. It's a shame because the guy is not early in his career. The guy is a physical beast. He can do it. He's got character. The crowd is into him, even though he had these horrendous wedding stuff. I don't get it. And he's not a problem behind the scenes. So, yes, he is and was my favorite NXT star, and he's let go, and it's a disappointment. So maybe I'm a little bit extra biased about him. But still, it doesn't make sense why he was let go. I mean, I don't get it. Other than the amount of money that they were paying Sam Shaw, they just felt it was too much for NXT standards. Why they can't find a spot for him on the main roster? Look, it's not just being about the main roster. It's also about having some success. I don't want him to be on the main roster just so Omos jobs him out in 30 seconds. And then the following week, he loses to Damian Priest. And then the following week, he loses to this person. Or you put him on SmackDown, and he loses to Happy Corbin. And then he loses. You know, I hope he finds... I hope everybody that was released finds success elsewhere. But again, without sounding cold, each and every one of them know exactly what they're doing and who they are signing with when they put their name on the dotted line. So it may seem cold and it may seem churning, but again, I just reread you for the third time in a couple of weeks, Triple H's comments. I know people hate to read them because it goes against what people have been saying for the last 2 years. Get used to it. 6 months, a year, that's it. He tells you point blank. Back in the past, we would say, let's give them more time, see if he or she picks it up. Now they know there's a 6 month coming in the door of adapt, get rolling, and some won't make it that long. There's nothing clearer than that. All right. So now, Steph, we can move on. Now we can move on. So I want to just mention this briefly since we're talking about people leaving wrestling. But the Inspiration, formerly known as the Iconics, they have left Impact Wrestling. And I got some info that you may actually get a kick out of. Let me pull it up over here. Okay. This was a little press release that they posted online. And it says, for those with audio only, former Impact Wrestling Knockouts World Tag Team Champions, The Inspiration, Cassie Lee and Jesse McKay, confirmed today that they will be indefinitely stepping away from in-ring action. Quote, The Inspiration have been a great part of Impact Knockouts roster and wonderful to work with, said Impact Executive Vice President Scott D'Amore. Cassie and Jesse are incredibly talented performers. Everyone in Impact wishes them every success in the future. The Inspiration issued a joint statement. We first want to thank Scott D'Amore and the entire Impact family. We have had such an amazing experience working with the incredible Impact staff and roster. We will cherish these Impact memories forever. We are excited to start a new chapter in our lives and explore other opportunities that may come our way. That is the statement they gave. Now, for everyone out there that is wondering what is going on with them, if you tuned in to my Thursday show, I told you that I believe they were going to be working in Hollywood doing movies. Well, since Thursday, I got to thank a certain someone in wrestling that gave me a bunch of information. Some of it is public, but I think you'll get a kick out of this. We don't know about Cassie yet as far as Hollywood. But Jessica McKay, the former Billy Kay, she is actually appearing in a movie later this year. She is now, I think, filming scenes for this movie. And I tell you, the funny thing about it is the producer of the movie posted this picture of her online. Now, that is not Photoshopped, everyone. That is not cropped. That is the actual picture they posted online. Now, I'm not trying to be nitpicking here, but you would think if you're going to show that she is going to be doing your movie, you think you would put maybe her centered on the camera without half of her hair cut off? I mean, this looks like a child put this photo together. I'm wondering if maybe she was posing with someone else, but this is actually a headshot for Jessica McKay that they're passing around Hollywood. Now, if you are curious, I wish them well. I mean, look, it's no secret. Back when they were Iconics, I couldn't stand them. And I've said many times, and I know this offended a lot of people back in the day, it felt at that time that WWE was hiring many people from different countries to represent said countries. And I honestly felt that if the Iconics were not from Australia, that they would not have inked a deal with WWE at that time. It's not a shot on Australia. It's not a shot on them. WWE was signing a lot of wrestlers from a lot of different countries, and this person's representing this country, this person's representing this country, this person. Look at Aaliyah. Somebody wrote today from a specific country that Aaliyah made history to become the first person to main event SmackDown, and they mentioned, you know, the country she came from. You know, like, this was a lot of the, you know, agenda for WWE back then. That's just the facts. I honestly think the impossible became possible. Billie Kay actually got better when she was in Impact Wrestling. She was not that bad. They accentuated the positives and they hid the negatives as much as they could. But if you're curious, the movie that she's going to be doing, because they're done for wrestling right now, you might see them pop up on an indie circuit if the price is right. But the movie that she is going to be featured in later this year is called The Charisma Killers. The only synopsis that we have about this movie is this. When the old mentor of seven killers finds out he has terminal cancer, he gives all seven killers, he gives them an opportunity at his fortune to prove themselves for one night only to extract revenge. I know they spelled exact revenge on IMDb, but it's extractive. I am correcting IMDb. So we got seven killers, and they all have a mentor, supposedly, and the mentor has terminal cancer. And for one night only, he's given them all a chance at his fortune. Her big break, everyone, her character in the movie is the wife of a swinger. She is the wife of a swinger. And I don't mean Johnny. They don't even, look, dudes, dudettes, why did I even say that? She doesn't even have a character name at this point. I mean, you look at the cast, Vernon Wells, all right, he's on it, Vanessa Angel, her name is Linda. Jordan James Smith is Pretty Boy Norton. Chris Moss, his character name is Fowler Jr. Jason Jenkins is One Hit Hustle. Do you know what Jessica McKay's name is in this movie? Swinger's wife. Swinger. She's playing the wife of a swinger. They don't even have a name for her as of yet. So that is, look, hey, I hope it pays well. I hope it's good paying job, but that is going to be her. That's how she's going to pop her cherry in Hollywood, everyone, and I don't mean that physically. She's going to, I'm leaving wrestling indefinitely, and my first role is going to be the wife of a swinger. So obviously we're going to see a scene where they're probably going to bait the couple in to exchange spit with each other. And they have to impress the killer, the mentor that has terminal cancer. Hey, how's about I impress you this way? I'm going to lure two of them in, and we're going to swap, and then I'm going to kill them. I know, Ranson, that is simply iconic. So, yeah, I don't know how much of that is public. I know some of it is, but, oh, I hope this movie is good. Actually, you know what? I hope it's so bad that it's good. You know, there's some movies that are so bad that you just love them. So good luck for them. I mean that sincerely. I mean that, I really do mean that sincerely. You know, it's interesting. You know what's interesting about tonight? A lot of the show is heavily female related as far as topics. Not intentional. It's just, you know, whatever we really feel like talking about, you know, those are obviously the topics. We'll get to Ember Moon and Becky Lynch in a little bit. Booty Man. You know, I got an early super chat that disappeared. Lascelles, he loved the thumbnail, and he's talking about this thumbnail that I made. And he says, creepy Johnny Ace telling Ember Moon to dress like Mandy Rose. Is that an actual picture? If so, where did I find it? That is not an actual picture. I actually got very lucky, and I found a good picture of Ember Moon, acting like she is laughing her ass off, and I just, you know, photoshopped her likeness. I made kind of like a casting couch, you know. I know that sounds a little bit terrible, but it is a nice-looking couch. And we put Johnny Ace on the couch as well, and Johnny Ace has this look on his face like, yeah, put on these booty shorts. And she's like, you serious? And he's looking at her like serious as a heart attack. So, no, that is not a real photo, but I'm getting better at my thumbnails, getting better. But, no, we will talk about the booty man. We will talk about the booty man in a little bit. And, you know, that sucks. I mentioned it briefly on Thursday. That sucks that so many people took Ember Moon's comments out of context about Mandy Rose. She didn't say nothing bad about Mandy Rose. She actually even said that she's phenomenal. But everybody stopped at a particular point because it sounded clickbait controversial. And actually, I got a photo I'm going to share with you later that when you see Ember Moon crying, talking about, like, I don't want to wear booty shorts, I'm going to show you a photo that you may not be aware of. And if you look at the timestamp, it kind of puts everything in perspective. Believe me, you'll appreciate what I found. But first, very quickly, let me just run down the results from SmackDown and Rampage. Then we will talk about the big change, possible big change for WrestleMania Backlash, unified tag titles. That is obviously a big deal. First off, let's briefly get into Rampage. You had Darby Allin beat Swerve Strickland. So Darby Allin now qualifies to be in the Owen Hart tournament. Ricky Starks tried to get involved. I guess you could say distracted Strickland, even though he didn't. But this is going to set up something once again with Keith Lee and Ricky Starks. Fine. We had a backstage segment with Sean Spears hyping up Wardlow's opponent next week, which is going to be Big Kaz, W. Morrissey. Santana and Ortiz attacked Chris Jericho, and that looked awful. It was funny because Ortiz had his back turned. It looked like he was peeing on the floor. I guess he was trying to pull, like, some type of mallet out of his pants, but he was standing there, and it looked like he was peeing. It was such a bad segment. And then you got a guy that shows up with Jerry Lynn, and he's like, security, security. It was just awful, very awful. Jay Cargill, Kira Hogan, and Red Velvet over Sky Blue, Willow Nightingale, and Trish Adora. Keith Lee beats the 48-5 or 43-5 Colton Gunn. Hardy's doing a promo, the Undisputed Elite, hyping up the match between Jeff Hardy and Bobby Fish for Dynamite. The winner will advance to the Owen Hart tournament. We had Danhausen and Hook have a little confrontation, and that has stopped. Tony Nese got involved and attacked both. Told you about 3 weeks ago that they were going to start a program of Hook and Tony Nese. You're finally, after 3 weeks, we should have realized it was going to take AEW extra time to do it, but I told you that was going to happen. It finally got put into gear yesterday. And Samoa Joe retains the Ring of Honor TV title, beating Trent. And then afterwards, you had Jay Lethal, Satman Singh come out, blah, blah. Now, next week, as I said earlier, Rampage, as of right now, will start at 7 p.m. Eastern instead of 10 p.m. Eastern. The following week, because of the teams involved, it may actually start even earlier, 6 p.m. Friday night, the following week, the 13th of May. So mark that on your calendar. SmackDown yesterday, and this was taped from the previous week. Drew McIntyre beat Sami Zayn in a steel cage match, which was very good. We had an awful segment with Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss, and it's fucking awful. I know Madcap Moss is not used to being a babyface, but we talked about it yesterday in the watch party. You go back and you watch that segment, the crowd did not react. Even when Moss was beating the crap out of Corbin, just pay attention to the crowd. We watched so many people that you would have thought that they were just looking at like a wall. I honestly, I know WWE crowds sometimes react to nothing. But yesterday was just horrendous. And they were piping in so much reaction. You look at the crowd, we were like, nobody's reacting. None. Like this much. And then afterwards, when Corbin retreated, Moss is on the floor laughing hysterically, laughing at Corbin. But he's a babyface now, and he's laughing like the annoying heel. You just want to kick him in the teeth. I mean, Moss yesterday, I pray to God, somebody in creative, after they did that last week, pulled him aside and said, what the fuck you doing? You're a babyface now. You know, the excessive laughing, I know he wants to laugh. It was awful. It was so awful. Ricochet beat Shanky. They're now teasing a split between Shanky and Jinder Mahal. Interesting. But as you see, they're not focusing on many tag teams right now. Raquel Gonzalez over Kat Cardoza. We'll get to the contract situation in a moment. Naomi over Shayna Baszler. After the match was over, Shayna and Natalya attack Sasha and Naomi to set up their tag title match, which takes place in 2 weeks. Not WrestleMania Backlash, 2 weeks. The SmackDown after WrestleMania Backlash. Xavier Woods over Ridge Holland. We still don't know where Butch is. After the match is over, Sheamus is pissed off at Ridge Holland. Almost feels like we may see a little split there. Sheamus challenges Kofi. Kofi accepts, and Sheamus beats Kofi Kingston. We get Chapter 4. Lacey Evans talking about her past. This one, very, very emotional. I mean, you're all emotional. But let me tell you something. I know we're watching a form of entertainment, but you understand that Lacey Evans right now is part of a character, is letting you in on the dark secrets of her family and showing that your life does not have to be mapped out, the drugs and alcohol and neglect and this and that, that you can make it, especially in the world we live in. That is inspirational. Yes, WWE is a public service announcement many times. That is inspirational. Anybody that felt it was awful, I don't know what to tell those people. Because she wasn't playing a character yesterday. She was telling the truth. And I guarantee you a lot of people out there who grew up in a very, very horrible environment, you know, probably wish that they could turn that into a promo and try to help others. I said it a couple of weeks ago. She is going to be the Sergeant Slaughter of this generation in WWE. She is going to be that uber role model, loving our country, military. Thank you for supporting our troops. I love America. So, you know, now it's got to obviously move on to the ring. But that was very, very powerful. And that's not easy to do. It's not easy to do when all that is true. I quit challenge yesterday. I don't know what this led to, but it was stupid. Ronda Rousey beat Shotzi in a minute 41 seconds. So now Charlotte's going to take on Aaliyah, and Charlotte has to beat Aaliyah in less than a minute 41. Now, you had to beat your opponent by making them say, I quit. So Ronda Rousey makes Shotzi scream, I quit, in a minute 41. Aaliyah withstands the minute 41 and taps out a few seconds after the minute 41. So technically, Ronda Rousey wins whatever. And it was, you know what was so awful about it? I didn't even mind Charlotte beating up Drew Gulak a little bit. We talked about that a week or two before it even happened on TV. And, you know, it is what it is. But you go back and pay attention to Aaliyah after the match ends. I guess in the back, they never really spelled it out to her what the purpose of this was. There was nothing to gain by it. There's no advantage going into the pay-per-view by it. It's just, okay, Ronda Rousey beat Shotzi in a minute 41. Charlotte's got to do it in a minute 40 or less. Look at Aaliyah right after she tapped out. We count down from a minute 41 to zero. Bell rings. Aaliyah lasted the minute 41. A few seconds later, Charlotte has the figure eight, and Aaliyah taps out. So after Charlotte breaks the hold and she realizes that Aaliyah withstood it, you look at Aaliyah's face, and she starts smiling and is about to get up as if she won something. And then you look, and it's almost like she's like, oh, wait a minute. Ow! Ow! You just submitted. You yelled, I quit. You tapped out. And she didn't even know what reaction she was supposed to have. I don't put this on Aaliyah. This is not Aaliyah's fault. It's just this was so stupid to do in the first place. Aaliyah actually was about to get up as if she won something. We watched it yesterday in a watch party. We're like, what the fuck is she doing? What the hell is she doing? It was so quick. But if you watch it, you'll see what I'm talking about. So that was SmackDown. So now, one thing that went down yesterday, which is obviously a very big news story right now, it's interesting that it's not a bigger news story. Yesterday, we were supposed to have a contract signing. RK-Bro and the Usos. After all these weeks of hyping it up, I guess there was never a contract signed. So we have Adam Pearce out there, and RK-Bro, Usos, trash-talking each other. Contract is signed. So, I think Randy Orton called Jimmy Uso a bitch, and they start brawling. Roman Reigns comes out. Roman Reigns hits the ring, and he takes the contract, tears it up. Then he crumbles it up, and he shoves it into Riddle's mouth. Riddle's always getting his ass kicked. So Roman Reigns tore up the unification match. Now, this gets weirder because, number one, why would the Usos go along with tearing up and not having all the titles? A few minutes later, Paul Heyman is in the back with Adam Pearce. Paul Heyman proposes to Adam Pearce a 6-man tag match at WrestleMania Backlash. Because when Roman Reigns tore up the contract and shoved it down Riddle's throat, Drew McIntyre's music hit. Drew McIntyre hits the ring. He starts brawling with Roman Reigns. I know you all saw a lot of cell phone footage from last week's SmackDown taping. And I know going into yesterday, a lot of people were reporting we're having Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre at Backlash. You might have seen my early synopsis for tonight. I said, is Roman Reigns even going to have a title match at WrestleMania Backlash? I didn't hear anything of it. Now you see, 3 weeks ago, that first week where they just ignored Nakamura and Roman Reigns, I came up here and I said, why did they not plug it? Something just didn't seem right. Now you realize the match is scrapped entirely. So Drew McIntyre gets into it with Roman Reigns a little bit. Now I get it. The storyline is that maybe Roman Reigns is a little bit worried about Drew McIntyre. And yes, maybe Paul Heyman, by proposing the 6-man tag at WrestleMania Backlash, this eliminates the possibility of Drew McIntyre challenging Roman Reigns one-on-one for the championship, so Roman doesn't have to worry about his titles. But all of it is awful because for the last 3 or 4 weeks, they have been pushing unification match between the Usos and RK-Bro. That is a big deal. Unifying titles, and you remember what I said a few weeks ago, this is just temporary to put a Band-Aid on how horrendous their tag team division is right now. So now, out of nowhere, a week before WrestleMania Backlash, in storyline, Paul Heyman tells Adam Pearce, make it a six-man tag. And Adam Pearce is like, I don't know if I can do that, this and that. And you know, Paul Heyman threatening the board of directors. And then before SmackDown goes off the air, they make it official. At WrestleMania Backlash, it is a six-man tag team match. If you notice on the banner, no titles are mentioned being on the line. RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre versus The Usos and Roman Reigns. Now, The Usos and Roman Reigns are advertised for Raw. Drew McIntyre is not advertised for Raw, as far as I know. However, I think it kind of makes sense that Drew McIntyre has to show up on Raw. Now, I ask you, why make the change a week before if you never intended on doing the unification match in the first place? There are three scenarios floating around. One of the scenarios is technically not floating around. This is just from my mind, but I think it's definitely a scenario that needs to be brought up. The first scenario is that WWE will change this on Raw, that it could end up being winners take all. Think about WrestleMania, winner take all. Yes, the big kink with that, the problem is Drew McIntyre doesn't have gold. So why would Roman Reigns offer up both titles when Drew McIntyre has nothing to offer in return? You almost feel like there has to be some confrontation or stipulation to add to that. And the only stipulation that makes sense is that if Drew McIntyre loses, he can't go for the championship. I know you have heard that before, but that was against Bobby Lashley. So one scenario is we wait until Raw and WWE may end up changing it back to a title match. So I don't know how many shows out there are treating this that it's off, it's not happening, you know, whether they like it or dislike it, you know, they have their right to their opinion. But I'm not 100% convinced yet. Let's wait and see what happens on Raw. They could very well, this could be a bigger storyline and it gets tweaked a little bit and titles may be on the line. The other scenario is, like I said, you put Roman Reigns in on this. Roman Reigns gets to work Drew a little bit, but it's hidden the six-man tag, so he doesn't have to do all that much. So Usos still end up with the unified tag titles after everything is said and done, but you get Roman and you get Drew on there because they do not want to have Roman versus Drew this early. Everybody that has said in the last couple of days, it's too soon. SummerSlam, Survivor Series, I say SummerSlam. It's too soon, and I agree. So how do you have them go at it, but without titles being on the line technically or in some capacity, you put them in a tag match. So Roman and Drew still go at it a little bit, but their titles are not on the line. So that is the second scenario. The third scenario, and this is the one that I come up with, that I honestly think, once people start putting two and two together, especially if the scenario does not change after Monday, I'm wondering if the TMZ footage that surfaced of the DUI arrest of Jimmy Uso last summer, if that played a factor into it. So if anyone out there that has not seen that footage yet, you know, we already knew Jimmy Uso got arrested for DUI. We already know that Jimmy Uso went to a lot of, I don't want to say classes, but he seeked out for a lot of help. This was not only something that the court requested, but this is something that Jimmy Uso really took seriously and realized that this was his last opportunity with WWE. He fucks up again, he's going to lose all his opportunity. So Jimmy Uso took that arrest seriously. And I commend Jimmy Uso for straightening his ass out. Yeah, he could relapse. For all we know, something could happen next week. But as of now, we have heard, you know, it's going to be a struggle for the rest of his life. But as we have heard so far, he's doing good. But we did not know that when he was arrested, that he was very abusive to the cop, calling him an asshole, saying some pretty fucked up stuff. Now that footage comes out, it's very, very embarrassing. Now, is that, if you've seen that footage, you got to ask yourself a question. Is that footage serious enough that WWE would pull back from the Usos being unified tag team champions? Because the Usos were the ones that were supposed to get this. Would you? That's up to you all to decide. You've seen the footage, and if you haven't, go seek it out. It's on TMZ. Is that footage damning enough? Look, it doesn't change what happened last year. He got arrested. He went, got treatment, counseling. He is still battling to this day, and he's doing good. But this extra footage of that night, could that have upset WWE enough where they said, you know what, forget about the unified storyline. We're pulling back on it. Again, this is just a scenario I'm putting out there. No, Steven. Jimmy Uso was not awarded for being arrested for DUI. As I've always said, addiction to alcohol is an addiction. It is an illness. You get chemically dependent on alcohol. There's enough of you out there who have had a parent, a loved one, a friend, maybe yourself, who have been dependent on alcohol. You know, it could be for whatever reasons. It could be mentally the reason why he drinks. It could be a physical aspect of it. It numbs the pain. It makes him feel good. I don't know. But alcoholism is an addiction. It is an illness. And it is a real life battle that a lot of people deal with every single day. So there is a human aspect of it. Sure, Jimmy Uso, extremely careless, could kill someone. Look what happened with Tammy. So, you know, to say that he was awarded because of that, you know, that's kind of extreme. And believe me, there's a lot of evidence that he has really taken this, like that really shook him. I mean, I think that probably was his wake-up call. And again, you know, there's always that possibility he relapses again. But again, I ask you the question, after you see that footage of him with the police officer, do you think that that upset WWE enough where they would pull back from them unifying the belts, giving them to the Usos? I don't know. But I'm throwing it out there since no one else is. So, we'll see. In my opinion, I'd rather them not unify the titles and fucking concentrate on building up some other tag teams, not name the New Day or the Street Profits. Build up some other teams. You know, they're teasing. Think about this. 2 weeks ago, they teased the split of Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza. They were arguing after their loss. What was it, against Ricochet? Yesterday, they teased Shanky and Jinder Mahal splitting up. After Ridge Holland lost his match, Sheamus and Ridge Holland were exchanging words. That's three tag teams right there that in 2 weeks, WWE has teased a split. How is that helping the tag team division? So, I don't know what you do with the tag team titles right now. But obviously, it is a mess. And simply having one team hold two sets of titles is not the answer. They're teasing splitting up more teams. We have thought for a while that RK-Bro were going to split up. They end up losing those titles. Are we going to see somebody turn? How many tag teams are going to be left? Three across two promotions? So we will see. We will see. Right now, as it stands right now for WrestleMania Backlash, we have Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro versus Roman Reigns and the Usos. And again, in storyline, why would RK-Bro be happy with a six-man tag. Why would Adam Pearce allow the tribal chief to tear up the contract? That's why I say, let's see what happens on Raw, because it would not surprise me if they put that title stipulation back on. Wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to say let's give it two more days, then we could complain. But as of right now, it's Drew and RK-Bro versus Roman Reigns and the Usos. Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. AJ Styles versus Edge. Bobby Lashley versus Omos. Happy Corbin versus Madcap Moss. And for the SmackDown Women's Championship, an I Quit match between Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey. That is it. That is it. So, okay. We got four more topics. One is really just a plug. If you look at the screen right now, I'm going to show you a little video teaser. Where is it? Shit, I hope I didn't delete it. Let me pull this back up. No problem. All right. This is going to be happening in the very near future. Cody Rhodes will be on Broken Skull Sessions with Steve Austin. Yes. It's actually going to be available next Friday, May 6th. I didn't see the date earlier. So next Friday, May 6th, Cody Rhodes on Broken Skull Sessions with Steve Austin. It's going to be really interesting. I will tell you this morning, Cody Rhodes hashtagged the Young Bucks about this appearance. So obviously AEW is going to be discussed. So that is one that I am definitely looking forward to. I think that's going to be a pretty damn good one. We're hearing that Sammy Guevara did get injured from that fall, that stupid move that he took off the ladder in the match with Scorpio Sky on Wednesday. Not seriously injured, obviously, because he finished the match, but word going around is that he did suffer an injury from it. And I reiterate what I said on Thursday. When does Tony Khan step in and stop acting like a friend or Money Mark or anything else? And, you know, for the well-being of some of these wrestlers, no matter how talented they are, and say, look, you got to stop that shit. You got to stop that shit. As I mentioned on Thursday, and I've said it many times before, I am a huge fan of Sammy Guevara. But when Sammy Guevara cuts that promo and says, you know, I do this for all the fans, the fans are not requesting him to do moves where he could break his neck and injure and ruin his career. Fans are going to support him, are going to support him without doing some of these suicidal dives that he's doing. If you have to do this, or if you feel that what you're about to do, you have to do the gesture that you're nuts, then that means you shouldn't do it. Whenever you feel that you're going to do something that people would think you're nuts, you don't do it. You don't do it. That's my honest opinion. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary for a YouTube moment. Seriously, when you really think about it, we talked about this on the indies as well. You see some of these indie wrestlers that you've never heard of before trying to do these crazy spots just for that YouTube moment to get, you know, like trending on Twitter, to go viral. Do you see what this guy did the other day? It goes viral, and more times than not, people get seriously injured. It's just ridiculous. It's not necessary. Sammy Guevara is too talented to have to do moves like that. And if it's an adrenaline rush, give Darby Allin credit. Darby Allin still does some moves. I mean, you look, the suplex he took outside the ring yesterday looked pretty brutal where he landed. But even Darby Allin has pulled it back quite a bit. You know, some wrestlers don't need to do that. It's unnecessary. It is unnecessary. Okay. So this leaves us Becky Lynch and Ember Moon. Since we're talking about AEW, let me talk about Becky Lynch for a second. And I'm really not going to spend much time on this. I'm going to just give you common sense. Becky Lynch has been getting her ass ripped apart the last, I know it doesn't sound right, but she's been getting her ass handed to her the last couple of days for some comments that she made about the AEW women's division. Now, the one thing that I think a lot of people out there fail to realize, or they're intentionally ignoring this fact just as an excuse to rip Becky Lynch, there's a lot of people that don't like Becky Lynch. Remember that top 10 list of the most trolled women athletes of 2021? She was number two amongst any sports profession that women participate in. Tennis, boxing, Olympics, whatever. Becky Lynch was the number two, second most trolled female athlete in 2021. So a lot of people do dislike her. A lot of people seem to have left out is that Becky Lynch was on a podcast called Drew Garabo Live Featured Cut of the Day. She was asked about AEW and the current competition in women's wrestling. Becky Lynch was asked the question, so she answered. I know you have heard me say that many times in the past. People get upset when wrestlers will take a shot at a rival promotion. But nobody brings up the fact that a host, a show, a podcaster is the one that posed the question. Instead of maybe, you know, getting a little angry at the host for, you know, putting someone in that situation, you know, to answer it that you know is going to get controversy, you know, I mean, what is Becky Lynch supposed to do? Not going to answer that question? Then everybody laughs at Becky Lynch. What's the matter? You're afraid? You can't acknowledge the fact that the AEW women are doing a damn good job? No, she was asked about the current competition, which is AEW women's wrestling. So she answered it. And she said, and I quote, that she feels that the AEW women are not as well represented than WWE. The host asked Becky Lynch, do you feel that the AEW women are as well represented in AEW as they are in WWE? And she said, and I quote, I wish I could say yes, but unfortunately, I do not think they are represented the way we are. They don't get as much time as we get, frankly. They're not as good as we are. We have certainly on Raw, we have the best women's division in the world. I say that without any hesitation in my voice. We have the best women's division in the world. She says competition is great, and it's great for there to be another place. And I have a very good friend in Ruby Soho over there, and I would love to see her as champion one day. I would love to see her get the spotlight she deserves. Competition is always great over here. We're on another level. Okay. As I said earlier in the show, you look at Ruby Soho's stats in AEW. On YouTube, she's the MVP. On Rampage and Elevation, she's got one win in 2022. Oh, look at that, everyone. Next week, Ruby and Toni Storm are going to team up on Rampage against Britt Baker and Rebel. Can we... I will quit the shows if Rebel doesn't get pinned. It's so fucking obvious what's going to happen next week. And that is simply, okay, people are starting to notice. Toni Storm's been there a month, and she's got one appearance on TV in the ring, and it lasted 3 minutes. We got to get her on TV again so it puts the nipple back in the baby's mouths. People aren't stupid. They're starting to catch on. But what got me mad about the Becky Lynch stuff this week is the cute answer that people that are supposed to have developed brains, people that do shows especially, that you know that this answer is like beyond moronic. It's almost brain dead. I can't tell you how many people online in response to what Becky Lynch said, they said, well, WWE has 5 hours of programming a week, and we're not even including main event, but yet AEW only has three. So, of course, the WWE women would be featured more because WWE has 5 hours of primetime programming, AEW only has three. That's not how you look at it. You take the percentage of the total airtime of a show. If you have a 2 hour show and the women's in the in-ring wrestling is 40 minutes of those 2 hours and the women get 10 minutes of it, they're featured 25% of the time on the show. You don't just add up minutes. Plus, when you look at pay-per-views, you add up the amount of time that the women's wrestlers have compared against the length of the show. So if you have a four-hour pay-per-view and the women are out there for an hour, they are featured 25% of the show. You don't just add up minutes and seconds. So that's just asinine for people to do that. My second thing is this. Anybody that is winning AEW, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, Eddie Kingston, and others, they have said publicly they believe that AEW has the best wrestling of any company out there, period. Tony Khan believes that what they offer is the best wrestling compared to anybody else. They should feel that way. You should brag and have confidence. And not only that, it's very uplifting for your wrestlers to hear people within the company saying that we have the best in the world, that kind of exudes additional confidence. So, of course, you want Becky Lynch to tout WWE Women's Division as the best in the world. Seth Rollins, you want to fight the best, you come to WWE. Every promotion should say that. Even Impact Wrestling should say that. You should be proud of the company that you're involved with. You should always put your own company over as the best that's out there. That's common sense. So no, I don't believe Becky Lynch was ripping the AEW women. I don't think she was putting anybody down. She feels that they're not as well represented in AEW. And honestly, I can't disagree with that when we repeatedly over and over again show you that look at the... Listen, I could see if 60%, 65% of Ruby's wins were YouTube. She gets some extra matches, gets a little bit, you know, extra ring time, you know, gets a little bit extra work in, that's fine. But when you realize that Ruby Soho in AEW in 2022 has 16 wins, and 15 of them are not on network television but YouTube, I think you start saying, like, wait a minute. She's not good enough for network television? Toni Storm, 2 minutes, 3 minutes on network television the first month? Britt Baker has wrestled, what, one match in the last 6 weeks? Thunder Rosa is the women's champion, and you take away Battle of the Belts, she's on TV for 3 minutes, her first month as a champion. And you could just go on and on and on and on and on. Is Jade Cargill the only woman that on TBS, the Turner Networks, Warner Media, is she the only woman that Warner Media is like, yeah, we want a lot of her on our television? Why would Tony Khan put 92% of Ruby Soho's wins on YouTube and they're not good enough for network television? Why is that over and over and over again? Remember when Jay Lethal was ranked number 3 and he had no wins on network television? You see Colton Gunn yesterday with that ridiculous, 48 and 5 record? We were laughing in the chat, like, fuck did this come from? Meanwhile, on network television, he's like 0-4. You're like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So, all right. So we're going to wrap up tonight with talking about a little bit of Ember Moon and her interesting comments about dressing sexy, or the request that Johnny Ace made in WWE. Then we'll answer some questions in the chat for a few minutes. We'll answer some super chats and we'll call it a night. All right, Ember Moon was on with Chris Van Belay earlier this week. And she was talking about her departure from WWE. And, you know, it's no secret that she was very unhappy as far as what was happening with her in WWE. They brought her back to TV. She was supposed to have a contenders match with Saray. She had the allergic reaction to something and she had a skin rash, so they pulled her out of the match. Then WWE wanted Ember Moon to turn heel, and she teased a heel turn against Cora Jade on 205 Live. Then she's off of TV for a little while. Then WWE wants her back on TV, but they want her to be the original Ember Moon babyface. And then WWE says to her, look, Vince doesn't want you on TV. He's pulling you off TV. But we want you to be a trainer. And they even offered her, she said something like 5 times the amount of money. And she turned it down because money isn't everything. Okay, fine. I'm not arguing with any of that. But I want to talk about the obvious controversial comments about the booty shorts. That's why we have Booty Man in the graphic for this week. Let me pull it up. Okay. So she's unhappy. Now, let's look at the time frame here. This is around September of 2021. It's about September of 2021, because she was let go, what, November of 2021? It's all right. This is around September. Is it September 20th? Yeah, I think it's September 2021. So she's upset. Like, Vince, what did I do wrong? I've done everything you wanted me to. You took Shotzi Blackheart away from me. You took this, you took this, you took this. So she mentions couple of quotes. Now, she doesn't want to re-sign with WWE right now because she's not happy. Yes, Harris B, Brutus Beefcake was called the Booty Man. That's where I got that from. I wanted to be a playoff on another wrestling character, but let me get to it. So Ember Moon says, and I quote, I remember going to my makeup artist and saying, I am so unhappy. We have to sit through stupid meetings about how we have to dress sexy. I remember looking at someone else and laughing. I cater to children. I'm not about to wear fishnet booty butt cheek shorts because we had a 2-hour meeting about how to dress like Mandy Rose. That's not fair. Now, if you've seen the last couple of days, that is the quote floating around. That we had this ridiculous 2-hour meeting about how to dress like Mandy Rose. They cut the comment off there to make it look like she was throwing shade at Mandy Rose. Let me give you the full answer of what she said. She says, I'm not about to wear fishnet booty butt cheek shorts because we had a 2-hour meeting about how to dress like Mandy Rose. That's not fair. Mandy is absolutely phenomenal and an amazing person, but not everyone is Mandy Rose. I started seeing this downslope as soon as Hunter was gone. At the time, they didn't know Hunter had the heart attack. For the first bit, we didn't know why. We just knew he wasn't there. I got so angry. I was sitting there thinking, I didn't do anything wrong. What did I do to piss off Vince? They took Shotzi away from me. You guys promised me this wouldn't happen. You promised I wouldn't get lost in the shuffle. I went on this losing streak to help you guys out and build other talent so I could get a reward. I was so unhappy and could see where it was going between the booty butt cheek meeting and them telling girls to alter their gear to make it more revealing. Some people were very uncomfortable with that, and they were like, nope. This is what they want. You have to do it. It didn't matter how the person felt. This isn't what I signed up for anymore. This isn't about the wrestling or about the art we create in the ring. This is turning into everything I left on Raw and SmackDown. The pity parties started forming in the locker room. The jealousy, the cattiness. Why is this person on TV? I'm just sitting there like I'm an adult. I can't deal with this high school bullshit. But be like, guys, it's okay. And I be that locker room leader because I didn't want it to go into the negative zone. So now let's look at the time frame here. We're talking about September to November of 2021. That's not that long ago. So if you look at the NXT results that are going down at that time, and you look at who's featured in the ring, and you look at all the ass that seems to be sticking out, I think you could pretty much figure out what is being referenced. Now, let me also say this. Yesterday, without naming any names, yesterday when we were doing the Rampage watch party, I could tell you that a lot of people were really enjoying Kiera Hogan's outfit and Red Velvet's outfit, especially Kiera Hogan's outfit. There's a lot of ass that sticks out on AEW television. You look at Jamie Hayter, and I say this with a compliment. You got it? You know, you want to flaunt it? Go right ahead. But let's not act. You know, the difference is, though, the difference is that if you want to flaunt it, as long as it doesn't go over the top, fine. But if you don't feel comfortable, you should not have to do that. And that's the problem with WWE. Johnny Ace told all the women, look at Mandy Rose. You should dress more like Mandy Rose. Be more revealing. Remember the demo that you see is most dominant on NXT programming, much older people. So they have the women in NXT being a little bit more eye candy, but they're not doing anything sexual to generate a TV 14 rating. You know, you could wear a bikini. You could watch Baywatch. And everybody is wearing bikinis, not necessarily string bikinis, but you would see everybody walking around in bikinis and gets PG rating. So just because you have a little bit of ass sticking out doesn't mean that suddenly it's entering a pornographic territory. Now, I want to show you something. I don't know if a lot of you are aware of this, but when you see Ember Moon feeling very uncomfortable about wearing booty shorts, understand two things. She may have worn it on the indie circuit, but she ain't on the indie circuit anymore. Second thing is, and she posted this publicly, so I'm going to share it with you because you may have never seen it before. Ember Moon was battling her weight big time, and some of it is mental health related. And you know, with some of the stories, some of the pictures I've showed you of me over the years, you know, comfort food and eating, you know, for a lot of people does put a little bit of, a Band-Aid on some mental health. I used to love just sitting at home, pigging out instead of being around people. Food was my comfort. Food didn't curse me out. Food didn't troll me. Food didn't say nasty shit about me on the internet, on shows, or anything else. Didn't stab me in the back. Food was my friend. And Ember Moon was dealing with a lot of insecurity. September of 2021, through a trainer, she started to work her ass off to get herself in better shape, not only physically, but mentally. And she dropped 35 pounds. She was very happy. She was a little bit more comfortable, and she was trying to be inspirational to others. So when, and how many of you who have lost weight, but you look in the mirror and you still think you're fat? I always remember Alexa Bliss. When Alexa Bliss used to talk about how she would, you know, have like be very thin, but look in the mirror and she still would be convinced that she was fat. So imagine Ember Moon going through this a little bit psychologically. And again, look at the timestamp, September 2021, the same time with Johnny Ace is telling you to wear booty shorts. dress like Mandy Rose, be more revealing. This is what they want. You don't have to do it, but it is encouraged. Remember what we were saying on Thursday? Sometimes someone will say to you, look, you don't have to do it, but, you know, hey, you know, you might get some brownie points if you do it. So this is what she was talking about. Now, honestly, you know, for Johnny Ace, Vince McMahon, WWE, to have that mindset in 2022 is just stupid. It's just absolutely stupid. Because there are people who are very self-conscious about their weight, about the way they look, and not everybody is comfortable. You don't see bra and panties matches anymore, everyone. I mean, but if you do look at NXT programming, you know, one thing I think we could all agree upon is one of the comments that people will say more times than not is, oh, the women on TV, man. They look at those outfits. They're sexy. You know, I don't want to name any specific names, but you see there's a lot of eye candy on NXT. And when you realize that some people are being punished as a result of it, that's terrible. I know Nia Jax posted a tweet today, a little bit confrontation, you know, a little controversial. I'm not even going to spend time on it. It's not worth it. You know, but to insinuate that people didn't go along with this or didn't want to do this, or, you know, it's ridiculous to actually think that that's going on in 2021 or 2022. But that is, you know, Ember Moon revealing this. And you see some people are featured on TV that, you know, wearing some more revealing stuff. And you have people in the locker room like, why is this person on TV? Oh, well, you know, they're a little bit more aesthetically pleasing to look at. So, Fly, I agree with you. Some people could use that as an excuse for lack of talent or ability, but Ember Moon has a lot of talent and a lot of ability. And again, look at the timestamp of what I just showed you. I mean, this is going on at the same time that Johnny Ace is telling everybody to wear booty shorts and, you know, trying to be more revealing. And she's going along with everything and she's, you know, being a heel, being a babyface, tweaking a character, doing this, you take this away, take this away. And now her contract is coming up because for those that don't know, her contract was supposed to come up, I believe, April of this year. If she would not have been released, her contract would have been finishing right about now. And in November, she made it clear to WWE or right around that time, look, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. You took everything away from me, and I don't want to wear booty shorts, and I don't want to do this and that, and I don't want to resign right now. And WWE said, no problem. Adios. That's what it comes down to. So it's terrible to see that that is not only implied but encouraged. And look, nobody is accusing Ember Moon of lying. You know, now obviously people on the roster are probably going to keep their mouth shut because nobody wants to be released and everybody wants to have opportunity. But if you look at other people who are gone also, you don't see anybody saying anything against what Ember Moon is claiming. I know some people, you know, feel that Ember Moon is just, you know, she feels entitled in this. Now, I don't look at it that way. You know, I really feel bad for her. Especially when you see recently, didn't she have a match with Taya Valkyrie and they jumped off the top rope and landed outside the ring onto like 20 chairs? I mean, I'm sure that's probably not what Ember Moon signed up for as well in wrestling. If you don't know the clip I'm talking about, just type in, I think it was Taya Valkyrie, Athena, because that's what she goes by now, Taya Valkyrie, Athena, and chairs. And you got to see the spot. And you say to yourself, I'm sure she didn't sign up for that either. So, okay. So with that said, we have one super chat to get into, and I will spend about 10 minutes in the chat room with some questions. Let me just answer Chris first. And don't forget, tomorrow's the sit-down. So we're going to do live chat and live calls all throughout the show. So anything that you have on your mind, you know, bring it tomorrow and we'll get into it. But Chris says, Chris Candido was one of his all-time favorites. He always reminded him of another favorite of his, Eddie Gilbert. Both were great workers, great promos and personalities, and very creative minds. My thoughts on Eddie Gilbert. Eddie Gilbert, taken way too soon. My earliest memory of Eddie Gilbert was 1983 in the WWF. As a very young wrestling fan, he and Curt Hennig were enhancement talent, but were so over with the fans. Eddie Gilbert obviously was not ready for prime time at that time. But Eddie Gilbert, unfortunately, and I look, when I did This Week in Wrestling History, not only did I talk about it, but I showed you pictures of the car accident. Eddie Gilbert was involved in a horrendous car accident in 1983. And just like, look, I'm not comparing me to Eddie Gilbert. When you get a serious car accident, you could deal with pain for the rest of your life. Me, I sit on my fat ass and I deal with pain. Could you imagine what this man went through for the next 11 years in excruciating pain from his car accident, but still wanted to wrestle? The man had a painkiller addiction. The man worked his ass off in the ring. He had an amazing creative mind for this business. I loved his work in the UWF. And, you know, unfortunately, he died of a heart attack. And, you know, people believe that the painkillers was associated with it. One cool thing about Eddie Gilbert, I was trying to think of one tidbit that a lot of you may not know about Eddie Gilbert. And I found the one that I wanted to share with you. Yeah, I know over the years, a lot of you have loved to watch shoot interviews, whether it's our video or you shoots. Everybody does interviews now on shows, but you know, shoot interviews has obviously been a huge thing over the years. Eddie Gilbert is credited of conducting the first ever shoot interview. I think it was 1993 or 1994, shortly before he passed. He did an interview with Rob Barnett. And I think it was called Looking for Mr. Gilbert or something like that. That name might be wrong, but it's something Mr. Gilbert. But Eddie Gilbert, for about 90 minutes, you know, answered everything that Rob Barnett was asking him. And he is credited of having being part of the first ever shoot interview. The man was way ahead of his time. I mean, he did a lot of creative work for the early stages of ECW, but he ultimately passed along the reins to Paul Heyman, and the rest is history. But when he became Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, it would come out to Donna Summer's music. That's probably where I enjoyed Eddie Gilbert the most. Not because of the disco music, but he found his groove. And unfortunately, he was taken from us way too soon. So, no, yes, I was definitely a big fan of Eddie Gilbert. He was married to Missy Hyatt as well. Yes, Sean Oliver did great shoots as well. It's amazing how Sean Oliver has aged. I saw a video of him recently. His hair is gray. I mean, he looks good, but yeah, he's aged. All right, so we're at an hour and 53 in, so we'll spend a couple of quick minutes in the chat. We'll wrap it up at an even 2 hours. If you have any specific questions, something quick I can answer, all I ask is you put the capital Q or the word question before you comment so I can spot it quickly. Kevin Milwaukee going from Gonzalez to Rodriguez, so trivial of a name change. It's like going from Smith to Jones. Why didn't WWE just give her that name from the beginning? Well, they're using her as intellectual property now. People could ask me all different ways. I'm going to give the same answer. WWE is a little, you know, obsessive with their intellectual property, and they think Raquel Rodriguez, formerly Raquel Gonzalez, can go very, very far in that company, and they wanted to give her a new last name. If it's so trivial, then we should have no problem with it. I don't have any issue with it. As long as Raquel is going to do well on the main roster, I'm perfectly fine with it. I mean, you look at some of the other characters out there, Bayley and Sasha Banks and some of the other names. You know, like, does anybody complain about the names? If Raquel Rodriguez does great on the main roster, we're not going to care that it used to be Gonzalez or Rodriguez. So, thoughts on the Mets so far? Love it. Love it. We were talking about it yesterday. Combined no-hitter. I'm still sticking with my prediction that they're going to get 96 wins in 2022, but I am loving the Mets. The Yankees having a rough start, but there's still a lot of year left. I did see the Ryback tweets about Vince Rockstar Wolf. I'm not defending Ryback. He's got a lot of personal animosity to Vince McMahon. It's terrible to see what he has written. It's his right. I don't agree with it. But what I find ridiculous is a lot of people out there who have claimed that Vince has allowed rape to happen and other stuff to happen in Saudi Arabia and doing business with murderers. And they're all outrageously angry at Ryback. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's just, there's like a weirdness factor going on. I think some people just want to use a reason to bash Ryback. Me, I just stay away from that. Wasn't the right thing to say. I can only imagine how much personal animosity Ryback has to Vince. So, yeah, I know the Yankees won 5 straight, but they still have had a very rocky 2022 start. Last place teams win 5 games. That's just a snapshot of a full year. Steph is asking, does Sonya Deville remind me of Olivia Benson from Law & Order? A little bit. Sonya Deville, I'm happy that she is getting ready to return to the ring as a full-time wrestler. You know, it's still a shame what happened to her in her private life, you know, with that whack job. But it's good to see her back because at one point we thought she'd never return to wrestling ever again. So, Dorian, yes, the Yankees are 14-6 and in first place, but they still had a lot. Look, you know, look, I don't have stats in front of me. But you start breaking down some of the stats as far as batting, and so they have a lot of issues. You know, just because you play bad teams, you know, and you win, you know, I mean, that's like, you know, look at Colton Gunn with his 48-5 record. You think Colton Gunn is as good as Brian Danielson? Look at the records. You know, it's, you start breaking down the Yankees, you start seeing where they're ranked in a lot of areas. Sooner or later, it's going to bite them in the ass. So, yeah, that's fine. 700 winning percentage, that's fine. Last place teams could go 7-3, which is only is one half of 14-6. What does that mean? 8 games over 500? So what are you left with? You're going to go, 88-80? Please. Favorite Chris Farley movie? Tommy Boy. Although I do have a soft spot for Saturday Night Live stuff. Tommy Boy was great. Chris Farley, someone way too soon. Explain house music. It's old R&B music recycled using a lot of electronic machines, recreating beats and recreating music. That's what house music is. It's made in your house using electronic machines and recycling old R&B music. That's what house music was in the 80s. Again, you can say all you want about the Yankees. Start looking at their specific team stats in a lot of categories, and it's problems waiting to happen. So, yeah, Ryback calling Vince's deceased mother a whore in an angry tweet. Yeah, look, it's over the top. I don't condone it. I don't agree with it. It's terrible. It's messed up. It's messed up. There's a lot of anger there. It's a shame. All right. Do I think baseball should shorten its season? No, absolutely not. 162 games is fine. It's been like that for 100 years. Well, not necessarily 100 years, from the 60s. So still, what, 60 years? It's fine. Do I think Scott Hall and Nash would have been in D-Generation X if they didn't leave? No, I don't think so. I think it probably would have been something different. Hall and Nash would not have been part of D-Generation X. Understand the definition of D-Generation X. I don't think they would have been degenerates. There would have been a click there, but I don't think there would have been degenerates. Have not watched anything of interest. Actually, no, there is. There is a wrestling documentary that came out. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. Is it called 250 Days? No, it's got to be 250 Days. 350 would sound a little bit over the top. I think it's called 250 Days. It is a documentary featuring tons of wrestlers. They focus on the 80s. And they talk about, I mean, up and down the road, everybody, almost everybody is in there. Bret Hart, Paul Orndorff before he passed. Abby is in there. I mean, tons of Snuka. See Snuka at the zoo feeding animals. Is it 250 days or 350 days, everyone? That is a documentary. Every single one of you out there should watch. Oh, and by the way, for all of you out there that are big fans of Cornette's podcast, you will notice somebody recently sent a question in. Okay, thank you, Ramson. It is 350 days. That's the documentary. It's on YouTube. It's called 350 days. Watch it. I promise you, you will thank me for it tomorrow. Somebody in the Q&A with Brian Lass and Jim Cornette brought up about Bret Hart's comments that about, you know, that he condones as far as wrestlers should be able to smoke weed and it avoids, you know, other people, you know, avoiding taking other, you know, things, try to numb the pain. This documentary is where that comment came from. So I even think Jim Cornette had said something like, I never heard Bret say that before. Whoever sent that to Jim Cornette watched 350 Days because Bret Hart in that documentary point blank says that wrestlers should be able to smoke weed because when they smoke weed, they go to the hotel room, they smoke weed, and they go to sleep. That's what Bret Hart's argument is. But since wrestling does not allow them to smoke weed, instead they have to take other things and drink and this and that, and it leads to trouble. I mean, I'm just simplifying what Bret said, but watch that documentary. I promise you, you'll like it. I watched it from beginning to end, and I loved it. I didn't even know it was new. I watched it. I'm like, why did I never hear of this before? And then I was like, oh, okay, because it just came out. So, Jared from Subway Twix is in jail. Child pornography. He is in jail. What a house lien is that if you owe money for work done on your house and you don't pay your bill, a contractor could go to a court and put a lien on your house. And if you ever try to sell your house, either the sale would be blocked until you satisfy a lien. Just like if you have unpaid parking tickets, depending on the state, they might put a lien against your car. So if you try to sell your car, it'll get blocked because you owe money to the state for parking tickets first. A lien is just something being put against assets that you own because you owe other people money and you can't just simply get rid of the assets to avoid responsibilities. I have not played Among Us in a while. I miss it. I mean, I used to love playing it on Discord. The problem is there was a handful of people on Discord that was saying a lot of really awful stuff behind my back, thinking that I would never see it. Some people that I actually called friend. And, you know, I just stopped mingling there. So I haven't played it in a while. Do I think New York would ever break into two separate states? Hell no. Absolutely not. Although I was on Carmine Sabia's podcast a couple of years ago, his Belt podcast. I can't remember the exact name. This was maybe like 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago. And I said that I predicted that one day California would threaten to pull away from the United States. And I know that rumor has come out a few times since. My favorite Joe Pesci movie is Goodfellas. Home Alone is a close second. All right, so 5 more minutes and we'll call it, because tomorrow we have a whole show to do, lots of questions, calls, chats. Will Roman not have a title match until a UK stadium show? No, Roman will definitely have a title match. Big question is who? If you have unpaid credit card debts, they could try to put a lien against your paycheck. They could put a lien against other things. They can't just randomly choose assets, but every state is a little different. They usually will screw up your credit bureau. The stuff with Tammy, something should be coming out soon, very soon, should be this week. I don't want to jump the gun and say what we believe is coming out, but let's just say I wouldn't want to be Tammy Sitch. What if the curtain call never happened? Not much different. You have to understand, TJ Tenasty, when the curtain call happened, believe me, I was doing, wasn't really a hotline at the time, but, I was interacting with other people's hotlines. Curtain call was not a huge buzz. It was not major. I mean, look, for people that were at the Garden, it was a moment they don't normally see. I think it was a bigger moment for the people behind the scenes. The curtain call was not a huge, unbelievable, stop the presses. It's covered in all the magazines. You don't see it on the cover of all the magazines at that time. The curtain call was not as big of a story as it's blown up to be. If the curtain call never happened, they would have hugged behind the scenes and they still would have gone their separate ways. Anthony Alston, if Todd Gordon ever sold ECW to Paul Heyman, would the company still be in business today? I doubt it. Hardcore wrestling kind of, hit its peak around that, early 2000s. It's just a sign of the times. Look, CZW isn't what CZW was 20 years ago. I know some companies, it's over the top now, using glass and some of the crazy shit they do now. It's people get numb to that extreme violence after a while. When everybody does extreme violence in a promotion, nobody does extreme violence. No, I don't think ECW would have outlasted. It could have still been around, but maybe as a very small company. Once you start going pay-per-view, once you get big like that, it's very hard to downgrade and go back to something really, really small. So I don't think ECW would have been around. If Sting would have joined the NWO instead of Hogan, it would have sucked. It wouldn't have been the same. I don't think fans would have bought into Sting being a heel. It would not have had the same effect. Sting would have made it work to some capacity, but no. Hogan coming from the WWF, Hall and Nash come from WWF, it was the perfect storm. It would not have been anywhere near the magnitude of Hogan, Hall, and Nash. Do I see WWE buying GCW? I'm not sure. I hear little rumblings, and honestly, I ask myself why. Honestly, for all of you out there, if you think WWE should buy GCW, in the comment section after the show, tell me why. I don't see any reason why. I honestly, what, the footage? I don't see any reason why, in my opinion. All right, we're just about ready to call it. I'm just looking at the chat, see if there's any other good questions. Not trying to disrespect anyone. Some of the questions, it involves research or 10 minutes of convo. So we could do that tomorrow. But all right, I think we're going to call it. So everyone, it's been awesome. I'll leave you with this. When does Cena come back this year? I don't know if he does come back this year. He could come back for an appearance on SmackDown if he's got a movie to plug or something. Why not? Cena could come out, welcome everybody to Raw. Maybe hits a move on someone, has a little confrontation. Could happen on SmackDown as well. Yeah, I mean, it could happen. But if you're asking me, do I see him for Survivor Series or SummerSlam? No, I don't see anything mapped out like that. But I think Cena could come back to make an appearance here and there, but nothing specific. So Roman absolutely would be an effective character without having the championship. It would be a challenge, but he'd still be awesome as a heel. He's figured it out. All right, I'm out of here. Everyone, it's been real. If you enjoyed tonight's show, before you leave, hit that like button. If you're not a subscriber yet, consider subscribing. If you are a subscriber and you want to become a member of La Nostra Familia, just click the join. Watch my four-minute video trying to tell you why you should become a member of the family. And don't forget, once again, tomorrow night, the sit-down. What yours truly remember, my sit down with Don Tony came out way before this Don Tony sit down. So it's all good. It's all good. People still trying to get me to send cease and desist to WWE. I'm fucking honored. If I was able to like give a little idea here and there, I'm not saying that that's the case, but if it is, I'm honored. I'm honored. I love it. I love it. But you know that at the end of the day, there's only one Don Tony in wrestling. Hell yeah. And that's Tony D'Angelo. Because I don't wrestle. So if you're around tomorrow night, 8:05 p.m., join me here. Phone lines will be open for the entire show. We will do some live chat as well. And you all have a great night, man. Have a great night. Take it easy. Stay safe. I know weather is starting to get warmer here in the Northeast, as other areas as well. Tomorrow I go see my wedding reception hall. I got to put money down. And, you know, that'll probably be a little emotional for her. So, you know, I just paid off my DJ. Next week I pay off my photographer. And then the week after I pay off my florist. So it's going to be good. This year is flying by, man. So be prepared. September 3rd, I will not be doing a show because I'll be busy getting married. And then as far as honeymoon goes, I don't know if we're going the following week or maybe we wait 2-3 weeks and then go. But obviously, as far as honeymoon, I will not be doing a show while I'm on location. I might come on and stream live a little bit. If we go to a nice area and there's a nice sunset, I'll chill. I'll make sure I bring like a good laptop with a camera or something. Even if I go on Amazon, buy a really good laptop with an awesome webcam built in, go on vacation, record live from there, and then return it when I get back. Get my money back. I used it just while I was away. Haven't decided where to go yet. I'm leaning towards just Florida. I don't want to fly. I'm going to have to, obviously. I wanted to go to Hawaii until I found out you got to stay on the plane for 14 hours. So it may end up, right now it seems it's going to either be Florida, Arizona, Las Vegas. Those seem to be the three. But I'm kind of leaning towards Florida. So if any of you out there are in Florida, you might see yours truly for a week. So, all right. Be well, everyone. Hope to see you tomorrow night, 8:05 for the sit down. If not, I'll be here Monday after Raw. And we will see what they do with the tag team unification situation. I personally think something's going to happen. I mean, to just make that bullshit announcement towards the end of SmackDown, it's official, everyone, at WrestleMania Backlash, six-man tag. It just feels too, like matter of fact. In storyline, why wouldn't RK-Bro be pissed off? I want the unified titles. Why wouldn't the Usos be pissed off? It's too nonchalant the way they did it. I have a feeling it will get thrown back into gear on Monday. And look, if it doesn't, we will be up here and we will trash the shit out of WWE for making the change out of nowhere. But if they do, again, I wonder if it had to do with that footage. So everyone have a great night. I'll see you tomorrow or Monday. Be well. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.